He's good to us, amen?
Amen.
So, there's a few things I want to touch on. I want to make sure we're clear on Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is important. Now, Yom Teruah, of all the feasts, is mentioned the less. But has great meaning behind it. Not a lot of passages that are telling us what to do during Yom Teruah. We see places where they did Yom Teruah, but not a lot of stuff that tells us how to do Yom Teruah. But there are some things that we need to know about Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah, first of all, before I get started, is anybody experiencing any sadness this morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any type of sadness. I don't care what it is, in the least little bit. Because I want to pray for you before we start. Because Yom Teruah is not about sadness. It's about rejoicing. It's not nothing. It has nothing to do. It's not connected to sadness at all. There's no sorrow in Yom Teruah. It's all about rejoicing. It's about happiness. It's about experiencing His love coming, flowing through you. It's all about joy. So Yom Teruah should be joy unspeakable and full of glory inside of you. That's what Yom Teruah should be to you. And so I know next year, so this morning I was working on next year's message for Yom Teruah. And let me tell you, it's going to be fascinating. Because what we have to grab hold to is these spiritual principles that He established appointed times for. If He appointed a time to meet with us, if you're going to see the Master, you're not going to go home the same. There's no way. No possible way you go home the same. Why? Because just being in His presence impacts your life. Well, let me explain something to you. Every time you open His Word and He begins to speak to you, is exactly what it does also. It impacts your life. It's an impact that you don't forget. And so I want you to be happy this morning. So when you weep, these are not tears of sadness. That you can't express, your emotions are out of control because you can't express the wonders of who He is and how amazing He is. And so I'm going to share a few things with you on this Feast of Yom Teruah that I believe is important. Maybe I hadn't touched on it yet, but we can look at it together. We can see some fascinating things. So Yom Teruah, again, it's the when you sight the sliver of the moon. We talked about the Yovel. Remember the Yovel, traditionally, it's a what? A ram's horn. Remember that, traditionally. But the scripture talks about the Yovel. It talks about a Yovel. Somebody got a Yovel. All right. Anyway, this was more of an Arabian type animal, not typically what would be found in Israel. What would be found in Israel would be the straight, slender, slight curve, not different curves, but straight and slender. So much so, if it turned sideways, it looked like it had a single horn, because both horns were identically patterned. That would be the Yovel. And so he's expressing that to us. So Yom Teruah could be expressed with the sounding of the shofar. It also can be expressed by a clap, by a shout, hey! It can be expressed many different ways. It also can be expressed in remembrance. And so we're going to deal with some of that this morning, looking at it together. But I'm first going to give you Leviticus 23 prophetically, the prophetic fall feast. You have the spring feast that then the summer, and after a long, hot, and trying summer, which we just experienced, a long, hot, and trying summer, you have Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So that's where we entered into that season. And for the next few days, it's going to be incredible. I believe that the people who pour their hearts into what He's doing, God is going to finally establish what all along he wanted to do. Amen. What he's been trying to do. So what we've been trying to do here, build a house. We've been trying to build a house. So I want you to understand, the house is going to go up fast. If we allow him to do it, he wants to build the house. And then we're going to plant a vineyard. Meaning we're not in a hurry to go nowhere. We got a job to do. When you plant a vineyard, some of you plant it, and in your planting, you was able to invite people. You was able to not only invite people, you was able to extend what you planted to other people. And so we don't just build a house, and we don't build an ordinary house. This house is unlike anything you've ever seen. It's huge. And you plant a vineyard because God's wanting, when you plant a vineyard and it's big, you can't handle the vineyard by yourself. But he said, I look out there and I see that the fields are white, ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. And so we're sitting here and we're saying, well, we got to get some laborers. We're here. We are here. We start with what we got. We are the laborers. And then what happens, we see this beautiful, beautiful thing happen through these feasts, is you have that final preparation day where you're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. How beautiful is it? So we have to posture ourselves correctly in order for God to move in our midst. And he wants to. He wants to move in our midst. He wants to do what he wants in our life. But we got to allow him to do that. But once we get ourselves ready, he's going to do everything. So we have Yom Teruah. The alarm has to be sounded. And then we have Yom Kippur. We have to make certain that we are locked in what Yeshua did for us when he bled and died and then rose again. He atoned for our sins, and we thank him for that. And then Sukkot is representing the time now that we can spend with him. Now, all of these different things represented a time in history. We see a time in history when something happened throughout the feast. We see that happen. During Pesach was the time they left Egypt. So we see these times in Pesach. Again, when you say that, you're including matzah, unleavened bread. It's almost congealed to be one solid feast. And then we see that every one of these had a mark in history. First fruits was the mark in history representing the giving of the first fruits or the barley sheaf to the priest to then put it in. He stands it in the sheaf. He waits for the proper time, and then he presents it before Yehovah. And then we have Yeshua, a mark in history, who was resurrected on the third day. He didn't resurrect on Sunday morning, as so many has suggested. If you have Good Friday to Sunday morning, that's still not 3 days and three nights. But if we follow the Torah and how he explains what happened, it's perfectly exactly what it is. So the last hour of Shabbat, he rose. By the time they got there, he'd already been gone. And then it started a new day. And he was already gone. He'd already risen from the dead. And so we see that beautifully painted out in history for us. Then we see Sukkot in history represented their wilderness travels. In our time, this Sukkot is going to mean so much difference. It's going to be when our Messiah is here and we Sukkot with him. It's going to be beautiful. So what is the Messiah? Why is heaven retained him for a time? What is he doing? You ever wondered what he's doing? What does the groom do when he goes back to the father's house? He builds a house. That's what he does. And this is not going to be just ordinary. He's building it for somebody special. That's you. Sometimes we lose sight of how special we are to him. We're so special, he died for us. He didn't die because we're the most beautiful things in the world. We were stained. We were pillaged. We were raped. We were whoremongers. We were thieves. We were liars. We were deceitful. He died for us. He said, but I'm going to get them ready. I'm going to get them right in the process. I'm going to give my word, and my word is going to establish them. And so what we have is this place being built for us. And when he comes in, when Messiah's feet hit this planet and he takes the seat in the throne of David to rule and reign for 1,000 years, there'll be no dead trees. There'll be no brown leaves. There'll be no tattered flowers. It's going to all be fresh. It's going to be a garden. And then on his arm, after the end of 1,000 years, when the 8th day comes, he's going to march every one of us in, because we've been engaged to Yehovah. And so this picture, it's unending. It just gets more and more. It makes more sense the more you look at it. When you engage in this thing, it's just something it does in your life. It changes everything. So we see these patterns, right? Scripture has patterns. We see that God started out doing this. He started out putting this together. And now Yeshua, because he's our way to God, he's going to follow the same suit. It's known that the groom always engages the wife, goes back to the father, builds the house, because he's going to move that bride in. And I want to tell you, I feel like the house is about to be ready for his people. And when it's finished, he's going to say, son, go get her. Go get her, son. And nothing can stop that. No political agency, no three-letter word agency that CIA, FBI, none of those folks can stop what's coming. None of it. That's why we shouldn't get so wrapped up in all of the political business of the world. We should be engaged, but we shouldn't be wrapped up in it. What you want to wrap yourself in is the Word of God. That's what you get wrapped up in. That's what you spend most of your time in. And you'll see how amazing he is. So I just want to give some thoughts to you. We have to take heed and remember the shouting. We have to take heed. I want us to be reminded of what this day signifies for us and learn some vital lessons on how we are to be a people that hear God and do all the commands of our mighty Elohim, and are encouraging one another all the more as we see the day of our Master approaching. It's coming. It's here. There's no doubt about it. So if you have your Bibles, go to Joshua 6. We're reading in a moment. First of all, I'm going to read these. I'll have these on the overhead for you. The Feast of Trumpets mentioned, it's in its first mention, we see it in Leviticus 23, verse 24 and 25. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you have a rest, a remembrance of blowing of trumpets. Somebody see that? I highlighted it. A remembrance of blowing of trumpets. A set apart gathering. You do no silver work, and you shall bring an offering made by fire. Let me see that. Next time we see it mentioned is Numbers 29, starting with verse 1. And in the seventh new moon, on the first day of the new moon, you have a set apart gathering. You do no servile work. It is Yom Teruah for you. Are you with me? That simply means a day of sounding or noising. A day of sounding or noising. And you shall prepare an ascending offering as a sweet fragrance to Jehovah, one young bull, one ram, seven lambs a year old, perfect ones, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 of an for a ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, and one male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Beside the ascending offering, with its grain offering for the new moon, the continual ascending offering with its grain offering and their drink offering, according to their right ruling, as a sweet fragrance, an offering made by fire to Yehovah. There's a lot of offerings on Yom Teruah. How many did Yeshua pay for in this whole offering description? Not all. He only had to pay for one. The rest, we still have to offer. Do you understand? He paid for one. Which one he paid for? The sin offering. He paid for that one in full. The rest is what we offer in our praise, our attendance, from our increase, from our gifting to someone else, on how we treat other people. These are all, you could break every one of these down. I don't have time to do it this morning, but one day we're going to cover these things because we still have responsibility to, what is he saying? Yom Teruah is bigger than just tooting horns. It's bigger than that. It involves, how many see what I just read to you, involves the whole congregation doing something. The fact that you, part of these offerings is the fact that you put together the table back there. That's all part of this. I can show you how God lines all these things up for us. Because Yeshua paid in full the one that only he could pay for. The rest we still have to, you know, yield ourselves to doing what he's asked us to. We have to engage. Because Yom Teruah is about, what I see, is you have to engage in it. You have to be actively participating. You have to be doing something in this Yom Teruah. It's not just like Shema. You know, it's not just hearing the message. It's not just hearing the song. It's not just hearing the beat that you clap to. It's actually doing something with what you hear. So, you know, you got to hear and do is what Yom Teruah is explaining to us. If you don't do something, then it doesn't work. All it is, it's just a title to a feast day, and we move. It bypasses. We got it's one day, and then we're in between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, and we get nothing out of it. I want every feast to impact your life in such a way that you don't forget them. When you actually push yourself, even when you don't feel like it, you push yourself to engage in the feast that he's appointed for us. There's something about it. If he was the meeting with us today, you would want to get close as you possibly can. When we used to go places with the kids, and there was a big auditorium, we tried to get there early because we wanted a front seat, the way the kids can see. So to get there early, you had to give up something else that you could have done to get there an hour early to get the right seat. Because if you got there 10 minutes till, you guess where you were? You're on the side over there with the chairs they pulled out. And then you complain, I pay a lot of money, I can't even see the stage. You got to get there early. You got to be willing to give up something. And what we see happening in these offerings is the giving up of something and giving it to Yehovah. It's what Yom Teruah is, how it engages you. And so sometimes we got to give up a little bit of our change. These offerings speaking of this, but we thank God the only one that qualifies us to engage in any other offering is the one that Yeshua paid for. Amen. He qualifies us. He became that sin offering for us. He who knew no sin became sin. The one who did not transgress the Torah looked like a Torah transgressor for a moment in time. He was so disfigured and so despised, nobody even wanted to look at him. Can you imagine that you couldn't even look at him? He was so disgraceful looking. That's what happens when iniquity and sins put on you. It changes who you are. It changes your features. You start getting features that are tainted by the iniquity that you've accepted in your life. Whatever spirit. How many know the spirits will disfigure you? When you tap into these things, they not only that, they'll cause sickness and disease on you. But we talking about Yehovah. He comes to get rid of all that in our lives. So you don't come to Yom Teruah with ailing. You're ailing. If you're sad, if you're sick, you say, God, I thank you for my complete healing. I thank you for my complete happiness. Because then you can't engage in Yom Teruah. And I want you to be able to engage in it with no hindrance whatsoever. Because it's important to our life. Valuable. So what we see from this clear instruction is that on the first day of the seventh month, we are to have a rest, which in the Hebrew is the term Shabbaton, which is 87677, meaning a Sabbath-like rest or a Sabbath observant. So it doesn't matter when it falls. This year, we had Sabbath, started Friday evening, so we had Friday evening, Saturday morning, and we usually have midrash, and then we go home for the rest of the evening. But then we had the beginning of Yom Teruah was that evening. From sunset to sunset, the beginning of that evening. And so then we came back, and now we had service here, because it doesn't matter when it falls. If it falls exactly on Shabbat, which it can, this feast can fall, then there's no double Sabbath. But sometimes it's a double Sabbath. That's why we're to do what? We're to watch. You can't watch if you're not engaged. You didn't even have interest. You're not even interested in watching. You know, there are certain jobs you get. You go in the oil field, a welder's usually got a fire watcher. You know, he's welding, he's in the hood, he don't know what's happening. He sparks are flying everywhere. And if you don't get a fire watcher there, you might catch yourself on fire. You catch yourself on fire on a rig that's got oil and gas around it, it could go bad real quick. So they hire guys, and all they do is sit there and watch. Make sure you don't get, and his job's important. You want him. It's a real thing. What you do? I'm a fire watcher. It's a real thing. And it's a need that you have to have, because somebody can be injured. You don't realize you need them until you don't have them and something happens. And you go, boy, we should have had a fire watcher. You know what? Put it on the list. We're changing our policy. We got to have fire watchers. Because before they ever did that. Because that's an extra guy you got to pay. What you paying him for? He ain't doing nothing. Then they figured out real quick after the first or second lawsuit, did y'all have a fire watcher? Who come up with that? It don't matter who came up with it. You need them. So you got to be engaged leading up to Yom Teruah to watch and get ready. Because when you do that, now you're already anticipating. You're already anticipating the day. You're anticipating the time. You're ready to engage with Yehovah. And when he catches you watching. Now, if you ever had somebody that wants to say, listen, I'd like to go and learn how to shrimp. Okay. Be at the marina at 4 in the morning. We're going out. Shrimp is running. So you get at the marina, you load on the boat, and they're all excited. And then you start going, it's still dark, and you're going out, and it's just taking your time. And you're looking for your guy, and he's under the bow sleeping. How much he's going to learn? You can't learn anything if you're sleeping. You got to get up, stand next to the captain, and watch what he's doing. Watch how he's driving the boat. Watch what's happening. Took me a little while to learn that. When I was a kid, when it hit the boat, that was sleepy time. I mean, it was like taking pills. I mean, You hit the boat, you got sleepy all of a sudden. So my dad would always say the same thing. You can't learn if you're not awake. You got to watch. But boy, you get so tired. It was, and that motor's humming. And you're in that, you're underneath the bow and it's dry and it's warm. Boy, you ever curled up to a shovel? I curled up so sound asleep on the shovel, I had an impression on my head from the shovel. I thought I disfigured my head forever. I was like, man, I kept feeling it. I done ruined my scalp. I was out. But then, as I got older, I kept hearing those words. You're not going to learn unless you stay awake. You got to stay up. Took me a while. Then I started getting interested. I watched everything. You watch everything. And then there comes the day where your dad says, you take the boat. You know you done graduated when that happens. Because boats aren't cheap. And for him to say, you take the boat, somehow he figured out, he watched the whole time, you got it, you got to figure it out. So you can't get nowhere unless you're watching. And so when you engage in Yom Teruah, you got to be watching, you got to be starting early. You got to be thinking about it. What's today? Oh, it's Yom Teruah. Oh, man. That's not how you engage in his feast. It's an appointed time. You have the time. You got a plan to get ready. And this, by the way, is with all the feasts. You don't just that day saying, oh man, I got to get ready. It's Sukkot. Talk about sweating. If you starting on the Sukkot day to get ready for Sukkot, man, that's going to be, you're going to be pouring sweat. You're going to be scrambling. But we're anticipating it. You're getting ready. You're getting your stuff all lined up. It's what you do like when you're going somewhere and you have high anticipation. Maybe you're going on a cruise. We're on a cruise. You go on a cruise. We've never been on a cruise before, right? So we plan a cruise, and so we're going to go on a cruise. So you don't know what to bring. So me and Miss Charlotte were there, and she says, well, what do you wear? I said, what do you wear? Well, I don't know what you wear. Well, get online and see what people wear when they're on a cruise, when they go eat. Well, you're on a boat, you think, we'll just wear shorts every day, right? Well, some folks, they go nice to eat, you know, and you're paying a lot of money. You might as well do it up, take pictures and everything. Click, click. I mean, so what you do, you start preparing. When the time comes, you lay all your stuff out, but you can only take so much because it's a boat and you got limits on what you can bring. So you can't bring 7-8 suitcases. You can only bring so much. So you get all your stuff organized and you're anticipating. You're getting, and all. You're involved in it. You're engaged in this. That's how it should be when you're getting ready for Yom Teruah. You're engaged. Whatever your little list you get this little list, you got deviled eggs or whatever it is, or cookies or cakes. And when I go, there's one thing that I always say. When you have an event here, and you go to the table, you can tell when people's engaged. Because they're not praying. We're not going, getting little Debbie cakes and throwing them on a platter. At least not everybody. I tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to do with this crew. I'm trying. But it looks good. If you get the one with the sprinkles, it looks professional. It looks professional, I'm telling you. Anyway, let me get back to this. Well, we got off here. What an incredible God he is. But how many get the point? You have to engage. You have to be anticipating it. Because you're going to get more out of it. If you don't engage yourself, if you got a big trip planned, you're going somewhere and you didn't really engage, you're going to start forgetting stuff. I remember the first time we went to Nepal, we were so engaged. We laid every single thing out on the floor. And we had a list. And then we rolled everything and vacuum sealed everything so we can reduce our luggage size. And I mean, we had everything spelled out, listed out. We got there, we had more than we needed. Then the second time we went, we wasn't as engaged. At least I wasn't. We didn't get to the airport, and I said, guess what I forgot? Charlotte said, oh, no. And then we get to Doha. I realize I forgot my computer wire to charge the computer. I'm in Doha. How many know where that's at? Saudi Arabia. You ever tried to find an Apple computer wire in Saudi Arabia airport? They're hard to come by. So that was a no-go. We had guys running around with the white sheet on with the black band. I mean, they were running because they wanted that money. They were going fine. We're going to go. Took off. Six or seven of them, they trying to find, never could find it. There was no Apple computer, not for the computer I had. They had the newer models, but I didn't have the newer model. So we got to Nepal, and now we're trying to find one. And we got every little preacher on their motorbike zipping down little roads, and finally one of them come back, got one. But it made everybody else have to do something because of my not paying attention. That's something that I always grab. I always put it in the same bag. But for some reason, in my mind, I thought I did it, and I didn't really connect. And because of that, it caused that to happen. And so we don't want to do that. Amen? We want to engage. On top of that, you have a remembrance of Teruah. Everybody say remembrance of Teruah. The word for remembrance in the Hebrew is Zekron. Zekron is 2146, meaning memorial. Commemoration or remembrance. It comes from the root word Zekar, which is 2142, which means to remember, to be mindful, or bring to remembrance, or to mention. Very important. We see we give these root words. What's the point in it? I can tell you so much importance to understanding what root word is being used to define remembrance in your Bible. Very important. I hope I can show you that this morning. So the Hebrew word that is translated as blowing of trumpets is the noun teruah, which is 8643, which means a shout or blast of war, an alarm, or joy. Let me see joy there. Not sadness, but joy. Which comes from the root verb ruah, which is strong 7321, meaning to raise a shout, give a blast, sound the alarm, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Why are you shouting for joy? Because the victory's yours. There's nothing gets you more happy than when you win the game. Especially if you win the game in the last quarter, the last minute. You intercept and go all the way. The whole stadium erupts. They're not sad. They're not crying. They erupt with joy. They're excited. And they make a sound. I've heard it many times. And I'm sure you've heard it in your experiences in life. You hear it. There's something about it. There's a joy that happens. This is what he means when he's talking about blowing of trumpets. It's a raising the sound. It comes from that word ruah. While many are often confused as to what this day signifies, Scripture is very clear. It is a day of remembering the shoutings. The word teruah is used to signify an alarming. It's an alarm. When your alarm goes off, that means you said it. Now, there's been times where I didn't have to go to work, and I accidentally set my alarm. And man, I'm telling you, it was one of them mornings where you could have just slept till 10 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, the alarm goes off, and you go, what in the world? And then after I say that, Michelle says, what in the world? You don't have to go to work today. I thought I was a parrot after. I mean... I looked over there, kind of scared me. I said, what in the world? She said, what in the world? I was in an echo chamber. And so after that short conversation, And while you did that, you try not to do it again. So it's just what it is. But you set the alarm. When I set the alarm, what am I doing? I'm anticipating the alarm. But when I forgot I set it, I'm not anticipating it. Nobody is. What are you doing? Hey, I tell you what. We went on vacation. The first night, I set my alarm. Let me tell you. That was an argument. Or a disagreement. Either way, it wasn't nice. When you get told, who sets the alarm on the first day of vacation? Who does that? So out of habit, you know, you're just doing it you're going duck season, you're hunting every single day, and you're setting it for 2:30, 2:30, 2:30. Every night you're setting it. So you set the alarm. You're anticipating the alarm. We wasn't anticipating the alarm. We was in Orlando. Who's going duck hunting in Orlando? So the whole thing is, when you set your alarm, there's an anticipation. And he's trying to tell us, this is what Yom Teruah is about. It's like the set time, get ready, be anticipated, it's time to go. Now, sometimes you get so caught up in anticipation, you can't sleep. Like, I always hated the first day of duck season and the first day of shrimping season. Because you set your alarm, you can't sleep, you I don't want to get up late. And so, but you get it over with, then the rest goes smooth. Because you got it on your mind, and you don't want to, you got a big deal, you got a lot of people, but if I get up late, it's going to mess the whole thing up. So you're up every hour looking. It's going to go off at any moment. Can you imagine if we did that with God? We got so much anticipation, so much excitement, that we're gonna get a chance to have an appointment with Him. It's just something about it, and we're gonna. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced having that much anticipation about something you was doing, but you can get really in a position where you have anticipate so much that it messes with your sleep. You don't even care about sleep. You're just ready to go, and that's what we see being stated here. It is used to signify an alarm sound that signals a distinctive sound that must be heard and properly responded to. It is used to signal the distinctive sound of the shofar on Yom Kippur that would fall on the 49th year in order to announce that the following year would be the Yovel or the Jubilee, the year of release, and therefore proclaiming the release with the teruah sound of the shofar, giving people enough time to prepare for the release as seen in, and we see it in Leviticus 25, verse 9, and you shall then sound the shofar sound on the 10th day of the 7th new moon on Yom HaKippurim, cause a shofar to sound throughout all your land. So we see that being stated there. So if you have your Bibles, I want to take you, I'm probably done with the slides, even though there's many to go. But I want you to go to Joshua chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1. Verse 1, it says, and Yirio was shut up tight because of the presence of the sons of Israel, none going out and none coming in. So they besieged Yirio. There they are. They're there, and they besieged it. None's going out, none's coming in. Remember, why are they besieging it? Because that's what Yehovah told them they should do. In the last Torah portion, he says, when you come to fight, you besiege the city. So they're following the orders that they were given, the instructions. And you shall, and Yehovah said to Yehoshua, see, I have given you Yirio and its sovereigns, mighty brave men unto your hand. And you shall go around the city, all the men of battle going around the city once. Do this for 6 days. So we're going 6 days around the city, one time a day. And let 7 priests bear 7 shofarots. And the Yovelim before the ark on the seventh day, go around the city seven times while the priests blow with the shofarot. Now it's the shofarot because it's seven of them, and they all got one, so it's in the plural. It's not just a shofar, it's the shofarot. They're blowing seven trumpets. On the seventh day, they go seven times around, and they're blowing these trumpets. Now, I want you to understand that is this blowing of the trumpets part of Yom Teruah? It's part, but it's not complete. Remember, don't we want to complete our appointment? Don't we want to? You ever been to a doctor's appointment, and you go to the doctor for two things, and they get busy, and they say, well, you're going to have to come back for this. You kind of get disappointed. You say, well, I've been waiting, you know, for 2 weeks to come, but they got something going on, so you got to come back now. Sometimes they do that. They say, well, I scheduled you for your visit and your blood work, and then something happens that you can't get your blood work done, so they send you home and schedule another blood work day. Happens all the time. You don't, you want, during Yom Teruah, you want to, after this appointment, you want to get it all in. So I want to show you how we're going to get it all in. Because he says, you get the shofarots out front, and they're going to blow these shofars on the seventh day. The priests are to bear the seven shofarots of the Yovelim before the ark on the seventh day, go around the city seven times while the priests blow with the shofarots. And it shall be when they make a long blast with the horns of the Yovel, and when you hear this, the voice of the shofar, you hear the voice, the sound that comes out, that all the people shout with a great sound. All the people shout with a great sound. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Let me see that. Verse 5 is important because we see that he's using the word teruah there. When you shout, that's teruah. So he's using teruah with the blowing of the shofar, and he's using teruah with just a shout. And so what we see he mentions teruah in two frameworks. One is dealing strictly with a remembrance teruah, and the other is dealing with the blowing of the horn of teruah. That's how he deals with it when he gives the explanation. So I want to explain to you what that sounds like. And I want you to get excited, because sometimes we got to use all the arsenal that he gives us to have victory over the attack of the enemy. You have to use it all, not some of it. How many want to use it all? And so that should be important to us. So if you buy a outboard motor, say you had a 25 Johnson, that's what it was when I was a kid, it was Johnson's. You know, you get your Johnson or Evinrude, and it's 25, you can turn that handle all the way until you hear cracking in it. It's only going what it's got. That's all it's going. And so you can do that for years, and you making 15 mile an hour. I mean, you got your head backwards and you're trying to make the flat boat hop like that because it feels like you're going faster. You doing 20, whatever, 15. Then you change up and you put 100 on it. Well, you don't turn the knob until you get to 15 and say, now I'm going. You know what you're going to do? You're going to turn until it's cracking again. Now you're doing 25 and you really got your head backwards because you're going to give it all it's got. Well, you want to give it all it's got during Yom Teruah. You don't want to just use part of it. How many want to give it all you got? Well, we're about to learn something and how we could do that. And so now we see how he's given the command what they to do. And Yehoshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven shofarots of the Yovelim before the Ark of Yehovah. Why did he tell them that? Because he was instructed to. How many know it's important to follow his instructions? So that's what we want to do. We want to follow this. I want to make sure that we don't finish this Yom Teruah without using all the power that we have. Amen. Now, we got some of the power last night, but we want to use it all. Amen? How many want it all? Amen. And he said to the priests, he said to the people, pass over and go around the city, and let him who is armed pass over before the ark of Jehovah. And it came to be when Yehoshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven shofarots of the Yovelim before Jehovah passed over and blew with the shofarot, and the ark of the covenant of Jehovah went after them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the shofarot, and the rear guard came after the ark, going on and blowing with the shofarot. How many have seen that was order? Everybody say order. Now, one thing about Yom Teruah is order in it. We don't want to get out of his order. So how do you do that? You follow his method. You don't add anything in. You don't take anything out. You add his method. So if you take something out, you're still out of order. It doesn't look as obvious, but it's still out of order. If you add something in, it could be out of order. So what we want to do, we want to make sure that we don't leave anything out. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the shofarot, the rear guard after the ark going on and blowing with the shofarot. But Yehoshua had commanded the people, saying, do not make a sound or cause your voice to be heard, nor let any word come out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Let me see that. So, there was no just random shouting. This shout had order to it. Why? Because if we all shout at the same time, more hear. Can you imagine that? Do you see where this is going? If we all engage at the same time, more will hear. More will get it. So you got to make sure that you're not in left field somewhere and not getting ready for Yom Teruah when you're in the house. When you're in the house that he built, you got to make sure that you're not distracted. So that's why you got to get your sadness worked out. You got to get whatever's happening, get it all worked out, because you got to engage, and you all engage at the same time. That's what makes Yom Teruah so powerful and so impactful in people's life. Because listen, the enemy, he wants to be territorial. He thinks he can run the place. We're saying he can't run anything. Why? Because God's house is here, and we're going to do what God asks us to do. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah has shown up, and we're going to shout when he says shout. Don't make a sound. He said, when I tell you this, then you shout, then you shall shout. And the ark of Jehovah went around the city, going around once. And they came into the camp and stayed in the camp. And Yehoshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of Jehovah. And the seven priests bearing seven shofarots of the Yovelim before the ark of Jehovah were walking, going on. And they blew with the shofarot, and the arm men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of Jehovah going on and blowing with the shofarot. And the second day they went around the city once and returned to the camp. Thus they did 6 days. Now how many was shout when they was doing all this? Nobody. They didn't even open their mouth. The only sound was what? The shofarot. That was the only sound. There wasn't a group over there saying, come on out and fight us. With their weapons drawn. There was nobody doing that. They had weapons. They were armed. They were ready. But they were told to do nothing. They were told, you get in line like everybody else, and you don't say a word. You're going to get the command's going to be given to make a shout. And so Yom Teruah, that's what's happening. So it's not, now you can give God praise every day of the year. But on Yom Teruah, you're out the box crazy with your shout. You understand? Now I would say we're borderlining out the box from normal days around here. But I have a sense our normal days are going to change. Amen. And so I'm giving you this. So next year, this is way in advance. You're ready. You're ready to go. Because what he tells them to do is not like what they do on the seventh day. It's not what they did on the first day. Or the second day. Or the third day. Or the fourth day, or the fifth day, or the sixth day. What they did was completely caught the whole enemy by surprise. It shocked them. Yom Teruah has to be a shock to your area that you live in. It has to be a shock. And if you get shocked when you're there, your shock came too late. Your anticipation brings shock to you because you know what God's expecting. You have to understand, they besieged the city. Nobody's going in or coming out. And they're looking at these high walls. And they done been in there. They seen it. They send spies in there. They have a woman by the name of Rahab. And that woman's going to be protected. But what's about to happen is going to be so out the box. They're going to have a Yom Teruah moment. And it's going to blow people's mind. Can you see that? We're not just talking about. Sometimes we get our shout on and we're just catching up to where we should have been. That's probably where we went last night. We should have been there already. All the Torah that we've had, we should have been there. So there's no coming down. It's not, you know, appointed times are not highs and then lows and then highs. You don't come down from Yom Teruah. There's something about what he wants to express to us that when we get it, it changes you forever. And let me tell you, it's all about the word or the term Zikron. That's where I'm trying to get with this, that term Zikron. It's all about the root of Zikron, Zikar. It's all about that. And he makes mention of that first. Yom Teruah is a remembrance. Connect to that term because I'm going to teach you something. That's what he's telling us. And so Yehoshua says, why have you troubled us? Where did I stop at? Fifteen. And it came to be on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and went around the city seven times in this way. Only on that day they went around the city seven times. Seven times. So what does this represent? Again, seven in the scripture represents completion or perfection. It's God's number. But more than that, they were being obedient. They were obeying. While we didn't do it seven times any other day, this is not any other day. Just like Yom Teruah is not like any other day. And you have to understand that. This is not just, it wasn't like the day before. This day is appointed by Jehovah. It's an appointed time. And so you don't treat it like any other day. You have to treat it with the reverence and respect that he has set it aside for, so much so that he made it a Sabbaton. He made it a rest day so we could do it, so we'd have the opportunity to clear our schedule and make sure that we're paying attention to what we need to do at that particular day. Why did he set it apart like that? Because he said this is special. Because on that day, this is when breakthrough happens. What are they about to do? They're about to break through. So if you want to, you want me to tell you what I think about it, it's the day that breakthrough happens in people's lives. That's what happens. The thing that's been hindering you all this time won't hinder you no more. And the city shall be put under And it came to be at the seventh time, the priest blew with the shofar, and Yehoshua said to the people, shout, for Jehovah has given you the city. And the city shall be put under a ban, and all that is in it belongs to Jehovah. Let me see that. Now it seems like we don't get the prize for all the work. You put all the work in and somebody else gets the prize. The city's put in a ban. The stuff belongs to Jehovah. Let me see what he's saying. Yom Teruah is not focusing on what you can get out of something. It's focusing on what Jehovah requires to be himself. You're going to get something regardless. It's what it is. You can't be in his presence. You can't engage him without getting something. But you got to let him do that. Don't focus on that. Focus on being obedient to what he's asked us to do. And so we see that happening. So first of all, let me just stop right there and back up. And it came to be at the seventh time when the priest blew the shofar that Yehoshua said to the people, shout, Teruah! For Jehovah has given you the city. So I want you to think about this. I want to show you how powerful this is. Everybody stand. Everybody stand, come up here. Let's get in line. Let's line up. We can do straight across. Face that way. In Exodus 23, there's a little scripture there that almost seems like it's a side trail, but it's looking at that word, Zakar. And in Exodus 23, verse 13, it says, and in all that I have said to you, take heed to make no mention, Zakar, of the name of all the mighty ones, let not it be heard from your mouth. So he's using the term in Exodus, and he defines it as mentioned. Mentioning what? The name. So I'm telling you, when he said shout, they didn't just go, ah! I believe they all said the name. To that huge wall and all that fighting army, they shouted, Jehovah! And what happened? And so we're going to practice that. We're going to all shout. They didn't shout different things. They didn't make different. They all said the same thing. What did they do? They remembered the name. Remember, Yom Teruah is the remembrance. If we define remembrance, we can define it as remembrance. We also can define it as the mentioning of the name. And when that name was mentioned, there was no wall thick enough that could stand. When that name is mentioned, there's no problem that's big enough in your life that can stand. There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's nothing that can stand. There's no devil in hell that can continue to keep your family, your husband, your wife, your children at bay. Can't be done. But listen, where the power comes in. If it's Sabrina's turn, we all shout with her. If it's Rob's turn, we all shout with him. It don't, listen, because we want everybody to shout when it's our turn, when we got the problem. But we lose our shout when it comes to somebody else. We busy. We got this. Yom Teruah don't allow that. Yom Teruah said, I'm going to set this day aside. I'm going to make it a Shabbaton. You all got to be there with high anticipation, happy and joyful, to do anything you can for everybody that you can do it for. And that's the shout when it comes time to shout.
Yes.
Everybody was shouting for their brother and their sister, their mama, their daddy. They was all shouting the same thing. You don't see the seriousness of it because it's not your husband. You don't see the seriousness because it's not your kids. You lose that. You look at yourself, it's not so bad for me, but you don't want it to get bad, do you?
That's right.
So remember, do what you can when God gives wisdom to us to make sure that we're in the right position and get our attitude right, we're postured right, to when it comes to shout the name of Yehovah, we're for everybody here. We want victory in your life, because the moment you get victory, we're going to see the house. You don't build a house for it to stay empty. The house don't get built to stay empty. You don't plant a vineyard, nobody eats the fruit of it. Every wedding I went to, there's always a reception. And let me tell you, we ought to get excited for the reception. Because the marriage supper of the Lamb, he's prepared it for us. Or who's going to go? Remember the parable? He sent them out. He said, go tell them to come to the feast. He said, Lord, we went out, but everybody has something to do. I talked to the one guy. His daddy died. He got a bad dad. I talked to this guy. He just got to do this. Everybody got something to do. He said, okay, forget them. Go out into the highways and the byways. Go into the hedges and compel them to come. And they went and get the murderers, the thieves, everybody. And that's what Yeshua said, go get them. I'll let them come in. And so this is what we see happening during Yom Teruah. I want to get the full impact of it. We don't just want to blow horns and shout and, you know, get our clap on. We got to come together and we got to in unison. He said, don't say a word until I say shout. When I say shout, I can tell you that shout that they shouted wasn't just everybody going, it wasn't like that. The shofars were blowing as loud. And when they blow the shofar, they blow the tikkah and the teruah. And when you blow the teruah, when you make those sounds, do you know what it spells? It spells Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. Those notes on the shofar is spelling the name of Yehovah. And so they wouldn't, if the music players are playing Yehovah, what you think I think they're saying? They're not saying anything else. They're playing the music for the people to sing. And what are they going to say? They're going to say Yehovah. That's what the text is saying. He says, and when he says remembrance, he's mentioned the name, and watch what happens. When you say his name, the devil has to bow to that name. There's no power that can come over that name. So I want you to get ready, because we're going to shout Yehovah, and we're going to shout it several times. Let's stay in unison if we can. So we might start off slow, and it might go somewhere. I don't know where it's going to go, but one thing we're going to do, any kind of situation, I don't care what it is, it don't matter. We're not dealing with me trying to handle this. It's not me. It's not your pastor can fix it for you. I can only tell you how you can get it fixed. I can't fix it for you. But the one, the big fixer, the one who can do anything, he's available for us during Yom Teruah, and we want to maximize all the tools we got to make sure that we are fulfilling Teruah completely. And I'm so glad I came this morning. Let me tell you. I can't tell you. I'm happy I'm here this morning. Because we had a good time last night, but this is the icing on the cake. This is getting us ready. So, Yehovah, all at the same time, in unison, and I want you to think about the wall that you're dealing with. Think about the wall. And sometimes you got to look up, and maybe you're way up there, and man, it just looks impossible. No matter what I say, nobody wants to listen to me. No matter what I try to do to encourage, nobody's listening. Look at that wall. I want you to get a mental picture of it, whatever that is. If you're having a financial issue, look. It's like, you only go so far and there's this wall. Never have a breakthrough. If you have relationship issues, you come up against a wall. We can't go nowhere no more. Whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. If you're having an illness or a sickness, whatever that is, nobody's got no sadness, because we dealt with that early before I got started. So we wouldn't have nothing hindering us. So what we want to make sure is whatever it is, whatever person it is, whatever persons it is, get it on your mind. Because when you shout, We're shouting for victory for that situation with you. Amen. All together. And so every person is going to be covered at the same time as we shout. And we're going to believe God. The house don't get built for nobody to live in it.
Hallelujah.
The vineyard don't get planted for nobody to partake of its fruit. That's the reason he sent him home, because what was the purpose to have a man spend his entire life designing and building this house and he never slept a day in it? He said, we won't do that to a person. God's smart. You know, you're reading and you come across this, it's random. It seems random. What? And I'm like, what is this here for? This don't even go. What is he talking about? Send him home. And how you got four people and the one guy, he separates him from the group. Because when you got fear, you're not building anything. Fear has no anticipation of nothing. It just fears. That's all it does. So that guy's got to get, he got to go. He's separated from the group. The guy building house, he anticipates living in it. The planting the vineyard, he anticipates eating his fruit. And the guy engages to a wife, he anticipates one day he lays with that woman, lights out, and he enjoys the labor of the fruit of his labor in marriage. But the guy fearing, he's got no anticipation of nothing. All he does is fear. That's why his faith can't grow. Fear and faith, they can't live together. One's going to override the other. So we have no fear. Fear is the first thing we dealt with. We got rid of fear, right? We got fear is gone. And thank God for his Torah portions. Because it led us right in to Yom Teruah. We needed that word. We needed to hear. That's why I kept saying, I got to get to chapter. I was going to chapter 20, even if I had to put a second CD and we was going to chapter 20. Because of that, because it ministered to me so much when I looked at it and saw it. And it'll continue to minister to you for the rest of the year. But here we are. We want to complete Teruah by, in unison together, we shout the name of Yehovah. There's no other name but that name. There's nobody's more powerful than that name. When you see his glory, you'll be instantly changed. How many believe in instantly? You got to believe in instantly for instantly to happen. Instantly changed. The name you're about to proclaim, there's no other name that has ever been given that's stronger than that name. That name stands all by itself. And so the walls of Jericho had no, they couldn't stay up. They fell down flat simply because the people together, when Jehoshua said, shout, the shofar players played Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey through their shofars. Man, we're going to get y'all on that, the shofar players, the ones who can toot the horn. You know, I'm going to get you connected to how you play the notes of Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And if you play in the notes, what usually happens when they have the music come on? We don't sing a different song. We sing it with the notes are playing. So when he says shout, they don't sing a different song. It's not random. They're not just screaming somehow. Some got a high pitch. Some got a deep. That wasn't happening. But if we don't study the Word of God and get into what it's talking about and look up some of these terms, we don't see that. We say they shouted. Everybody, you know, everybody shouts. We all got different ranges. We got, some have a strong shout. Some have an itty bitty shout. Beep. The mouse shout. Different shouts. And so we can be selective in what we feel good about. This is not about selection. It's been selected for you. He said, when you shout, you shout Yehovah and watch what happens. So they was serving notice. What we're going to do is serve notice on the enemy. This year, we're serving notice on the enemy. When we shout the name, we're not coming in our own strength and our own power. We're not coming in. We're coming in the power of Yehovah to accomplish what he said for us to do. And that'll settle it for us. Amen?
Amen.
So how many ready? So on the count of three, there's no reason to wait any longer. Think about what it is. And say, you might have to say it out loud. You might tell somebody next year, I'm believing God for this. We believe in God. I know I am. I'm sure my wife is. We believe in God for our children to see what God is saying. Eyes to be open, ears to be open, heart to know him. That's important. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You can't make enough money to amount to when a man leaves an inheritance of who his God is. When you know who your God is, you leave that to your children. You can't make enough money to leave. You can't give enough houses and cars and boats to them to match that. So I want to leave an inheritance to my children's children. To our little sailor, I want her to be able to know she knew who her papa's God was.
Amen.
That's important. So that's what I'm going to be shouting Yehovah to. Because it's all it is strongholds. It's bondage. It's the lie of the enemy. But all that's got to cease. That lost husband, it can't be lost very long. You keep putting the light on, and now you can see where they're going. The lost wife can't be lost very long. Lost children, that sickness, that disease, that depression. Depression is like a big wall. You get up and that's all you see. No wonder you're depressed. That's all you see. You don't see smiles on people's faces. You don't see anything. All you see is what you've been seeing for a long time. And it's a sickness from the enemy. God don't give you depression. And so we're getting rid of it all today. Amen. So let's complete this Yom Teruah by giving a shout on the count of three. Yehovah. Yehovah. And we're going to do that until I don't know what's going to happen in this place. But I mean, you shout it as loud as you can on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Yehovah. 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 One more time. Yehovah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Scott, we give him thanks. Father, we thank you. We honor you.
All the glory.
We give you the praise and the honor. What a wonder you are. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you.
I am not ashamed.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something about doing it together. From the very first time when we shouted Yehovah, you can feel the breakthrough. You can feel the stuff crashing down. And listen to me. This word is his word. So anytime throughout the year that you come up against something in your life, just shout his name. Remember, it's through the power of his name that he brought deliverance. The people, the Bible says, they heard of the God of the children of Israel and fear got in them. We heard about your God. He's not like the rest of the gods. Your God came to the Sea of Reasons and it's split in two. Your God's like a pillar of cloud in the day and a fire by night. Your God is amazing. They heard, they just heard in fear. Now after this Jericho incident, fear went throughout the land. Now the only wall came down was the one around Jericho. But fear went throughout the land because they heard about. They heard what happened. We heard what your God did. Because when you come together, and we got one purpose and one goal, and that's to proclaim the name. He said, I don't want you to mention. I used it because we use that word mention, but it's to other Elohim. Don't even mention their name. He said, you don't mention their name, you mention my name. We're mentioning his name. And that word remembrance, again, is zikron, but its root is zakar, and it means to mention. And so I pray to God that this has helped you today. And you can do it at any time. Listen, when you're praying, and listen, if you're praying, you pray in the name of Yeshua, you're still exercising the name of Yehovah, because he only came in the name of Yehovah. That's right. He came in his name. Yehoshua is Yehovah is salvation. Whose salvation? Yehovah is salvation, not somebody else. Who else can save you? Nobody. Yehovah is salvation. It's all locked up into Yehoshua's name. And so all of that, people say, well, that don't mean nothing. Names don't mean it. It means everything. If you read your Bible, it means, if you want to go along just to get along with what philosophy and Greek thinking has sold to the church, and the church bought it hook, line, and sinker, go on and do that. But it means a lot, because God wouldn't go through great lengths to establish it in the word if it didn't mean nothing. The fact that he would give us some hidden manna in a simple word, zikron. And how we know, you wouldn't know it. You won't know it if you just read the Bible. You wouldn't know it. You got to stop and say, God, what does this remembrance of Teruah mean? What does that mean? Because we're not only to shout Teruah, we're to remember Teruah. What does that mean? I thought just coming here, we're remembering it. But it has to mean something. When you look at the sound of the shofar, the tikka, and the Teruah sound, because the Teruah sound is a sound, and when you blow the Teruah sound through the shofar, you're doing the notes. Yud, hey, vav, hey. Look it up, listen to it, and then learn how to play those yud, hey, vav, hey. If that's the only, if you play that, that's power. It's not just making a sound come out of it, even though that is Teruah. Noise is a sound. It's a sound. Teruah can mean noise. But this wasn't ordinary. This wasn't ordinary. I saw a program just a while back. They had this simulation set up where they can have these huge speakers, and they put this mock wall up because they're trying to say that there's no way Jericho, biblically, it's an allegory. It didn't happen. It didn't really happen. So they're going to put this music up and play it loud, play a loud sound and see if it breaks the wall. You knock the wall down. Well, they do it the first time, the wall don't move. They do it the second time, it starts to shake like that. Then they crank it up all the way, and the wall's wobbling just by sound. And it didn't fall, so there you go, it didn't happen. They didn't say Yehovah. He don't just wobble the stuff out the way. He removes it. He gets rid of it. Because there's no authority in just sound. You can still Teruah with sound. Yes. We can't take that away because it means sounding. So you can to rule with sound, but you can't completely to rule until you proclaim Yehovah. That completes the cycle, and now you've done what he's asked you to do when he had the appointed feast. We want to make sure. See, every year we can learn something. And I can assure you, I guarantee you, next year you're going to learn even more. You'll learn even more. I just completed this morning next year's message for Yom Teruah. It's 28 pages, so to take, I'm going to have to start it kind of ahead of time. So we can get through some of it. But it's powerful. I was enjoying it myself. I was enjoying it. And listen, I'll probably touch this again in that thing, but there's so much more. You can only pick a section and do it. That's it. So I said this morning, you know what? If I get Joshua 6 done, I'll be good, because I think, I don't know how many, it's got, I don't know, 70, 80 slides or something like that in the presentation. So I can't get to it all, but you got it. Go read it. Don't get tired of looking at Strong's numbers. Don't get tired of trying to pronounce the Hebrew name. Why would you get tired of doing that? This is how he gave it. Familiarize yourself with it. What happens the more you start doing it? You're going to get a memory of it. And before you know it, there's certain things you just look at, you know what that means. And it's a help to our relationship with God. So I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And we're going to continue to do what God calls us to do. So now, our Yom Teruah, we now can let the air out. And we can give God praise and thanks before we leave and then eat some more. But that's all I have to say. Okay? Bless you.